Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're covering this week a kind of sensitive subject, something that's not often talked about, but I think one that's very, very important because it's biblical. It's part of the whole life, the story of God's people. It's a dimension of who God is. It's an important dimension to be able to understand the judgments of God. That God's judgments, which, as I mentioned earlier in the week, as the prophet Isaiah says, when God's judgments are in the land, the inhabitants of the land learn righteousness. Sometimes God needs to act in such a way to awaken people to, as I said, exercise a punitive judgment that has come against the rise of wickedness that really does need to be stopped. That humanity, the crazy thing about us, friends, about human beings, made in the image and likeness of God, God made us, and he looked at us, and what he saw was good, but humanity fell, and we became subject to sin and the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we inhabit a fallen world, and that's real. And we have a capacity as human beings to rise to the amazing heights of sanctity of the saints, like someone like St. Francis, you know, or St. Therese of Lisieux. We have a capacity to rise to that level of holiness and purity and love of neighbor and internal peace and fruits of the Spirit, and to enter all the way into God's glory. That's the heights to which we can go. And there's no reality higher than that. And to live in the love of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we also have then the capacity to fall a long way, all the way into the darkness of hell itself. And think about Satan, the light bearer, right? How high he was among the angels and how far he has fallen. We're living, friends, in that tension. And if we listen to the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is light itself, and we're walking in the grace of the Spirit, we're living in his body, we're feeding on the sacraments that he gives us, we're receiving and internalizing the word of God, we're doing our best by God's grace to live out the Sermon on the Mount, we're loving God and neighbor. There's a great deal of light and possibility, and almost from the point of view of this world, endless possibility of what we can become in walking in as the image of God in the earth. But we can also become monsters. We can become Hitlers. Human beings can create holocausts. And so it's real, this battle. And sometimes God's people fall asleep. Lots of people, not everybody, but lots of people can fall asleep and become lukewarm, like the church in Laodicea in the book of Revelation. And our light goes dim and our salt goes flat. And Jesus said, when that happens, you're no good to me. Why? Does it mean he doesn't love us? No, it doesn't mean that. God is love and he always loves us. But he's being honest with us. And this is the great thing about the Lord. He's not caught up in our emotions. He's caught up in truth. And he says, you're no good to me. Why? Because the church is meant to be a city set on a hill. It's meant to be a light. And what is that light? It's a reflection of the beauty and majesty, the love of God. But when we fall into compromise, worldliness, lukewarmness, a Laodicean spirit of sloth, and the rest of it, that light goes dim and the world doesn't see God the way it's meant to see God through the church. For the sake of the salvation of the world, the church has to get purified. I mean, the Lord purifies us and allows trials and sufferings to happen in our lives to purify us so our faith can grow mature. It can be refined as gold. And, you know, the apostles talk about this, that it's a refiner's fire that can come and our trust deepens in the Lord. Deeper, deeper surrender to him. And our hope gets purified. It's not all based on, okay, I got all kinds of hope and I got all kinds of faith because all the top things on my list are happening. I'm a smashing success. You know, I've got the trophies coming in. I'm comfortable. I've got the favor of the world around me. Everybody likes me. My health is great. My plans are working out. Yeah, when we're walking in that, it can be pretty easy to get to church on Sunday and just kind of live life. But when that stuff starts falling away, and sometimes the Lord allows that to happen because we're too attached to those things. And those are the things we end up loving most instead of loving God and loving neighbor. So the Lord has to come and take those things away, sometimes to purify us. So our faith goes deeper. Our hope and confidence is not circumstantially based. my faith is good, my hope is good, if all the my things, all the ducks are lining up in the right row for me, if everything's working out the way I want to, and my circumstances are fantastic, the more fantastic they are, the more faith I have. Well, the Lord knows that that's not really faith itself. We're leaning on something else. And ultimately, what he's after is perfecting us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as we said, so we live out the first and greatest thing, and then it flows into loving our neighbor, which means walking in humility and all that. So that's critical for us, and we can miss all of that, and the Lord's going to, because he loves us so much, is intervene. And he'll intervene in the life of a disciple when lukewarmness is setting in and compromise with redemptive discipline, as they talked about. And then if things escalate too much and wickedness and great evil escalates, God brings punitive judgments to deal with wickedness and to remove everything that hinders love, as some have said so eloquently. So I've been talking, yesterday I took up a teaching from St. Bernardino of Siena, who was lived around 1440. I think he died at around 1440, was a Franciscan who had a huge impact on renewing the Franciscans of his time. He was considered the greatest preacher of his time, a man highly respected, moved in signs and wonders, and he taught on God's judgments. He preached on it to warn people, to get them out of lukewarmness and compromise. And that was an act of love. He was hard on people with this stuff, and he didn't come out of hate, and he didn't ridicule people. He just taught what God taught. He just told them who God is. And he warned them about the consequences of not paying attention to who God is. And so he begins to do what's needed. And he said, when it gets to the point in society, when men are given over to pride, when they're given over to the luxuries in the world at just an excessive level, they're walking in avarice, they're not paying attention and caring and being generous and humble, but they're seriously trapped in these things, the Lord brings about judgment. And he said he uses war, plague, and famine to do that. To shake up the world. He shakes up the world, shakes the nations. So human beings let go of what's shakable in their life, is essentially living under the power of idols and the world of flesh and the devil, and cling to what is unshakable, which is God himself. And so he had said that that action of God, where before his judgments come, they're preceded by a time of mercy when God appeals to sinners to come back. And then people refuse to come and pay attention to him, then what he'll do is he will prepare the punishment that's coming for impenitent sinners, he said. He quoted, the bitter revenge and the harsh punishment of God will begin to unfold if people don't wish to change their ways. And he'll let them know through prophets and other people. And when the offense is complete, God begins to act. And in that context, he also, we said yesterday, he takes away people's guides. That's one of the signs. Friends, when political leaders, religious leaders start getting confused and they're weak and they're leading in bad directions, contradicting God, the ways of God, leading people to unreality, that's a sign. That's a sign God removes. And number two, he removes the light of truth itself. We start losing hold of the ground of reality. Number three, God permits sinful people to fall into the hands of their own vices. Wow. So what are the signs that indicate that the harvest is ripe when people are falling into their own vices? It's beginning to happen. He lists seven things. Number one, the existence of many horrendous sins, a little bit like Sodom and Gomorrah. Number two, the fact that sin is committed with full knowledge and deliberate consent. Think about this. How much doubling down, friends, is going on with whole countries are now using their law, their political power to force whole nations to do something, for example, to embrace abortion on demand, or the killing of the innocent like that, the God's image, or forcing whole nations to embrace same-sex marriage and everything that goes with that and calling that a moral good. So the fact that sin is committed in full knowledge, deliberate consent, that these sins are committed by the entire people, that whole nations start walking in them. Number four, that this happens in public and a shameless manner. Man, I just keep thinking about how much parading goes on around the world now. Even in Israel, you know, it's crazy. It's just people just boasting and flaunting sin and sinful habits and declaring them and trying to force people to celebrate them. Number five, that it happens with all the affection of the heart of sinners. One of the things we have to understand, friends, when we start getting falling into sin, we agree with it, we align ourselves with it, it has a power over us because we love its pleasure. And we can get enslaved to the pleasure deep, deep in the human heart. Remember what Jesus himself diagnosed what was in the human heart? He said, you need a new heart, you need to repent, you need to come up, let me help you give you a new heart, because the heart you have is full of envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness, jealousy, lust, hatred, that these things are present there. And if you don't have a greater, superior pleasure in your life, which is God himself, if you don't have the power of God and the Holy Spirit to subdue the flesh in you, you will be subject. And if you keep saying yes to it, you could become a monster enslaved at the core of your being to these habit patterns of sin. Number six, that the sins are committed with attention and diligence. Look at how much time goes into, for example, creating pornography today. The enormous amount of money and energy that's there that goes forward. Some people say it drives the internet more than anything. The development of the internet, ever-growing sophistication, the greater addictive powers of the internet, all that. That the porn industry was at the cutting edge of that stuff. That's what he's talking about here. Number seven, it represents that kind of thing is my point. Number seven, that all of this is done in a continuous and persevering way. We keep doubling down on it, doubling down on it. When that happens, Saint Bernardino of Siena, a great saint, said, that's the hour in which God punishes the sins of pride, luxury, and avarice with the scourges of plagues, war, and famine. There's no question in my mind, for reasons I've spoken about in the program in the past, and I think we're seeing it, a lot of foolishness. We see the constant drumbeat now filling our educational system across the West. I read an article the other day that said like 40% of little children, elementary school children, think they're transsexual and they're wrestling with that. I'm thinking to myself, what? 40% of children? You know why that is? Because the adults in their world are doubling down on the very things we're describing here. Foolishness, the denial, the suppression of the truth about God's creative purpose, God's creative plan. And adults are now, they've stepped over into the darkness at a very serious level. And they're walking in darkness and they're calling it light. Jesus said, when darkness is your light, how blind can you be? He said, I'm the light of the world. Come and follow me. He's the one light, friends. He's the one light, ultimately, that shows the way for the human race to get out of darkness and get into light. That's what he told St. Paul on the day of his conversion on the road to Damascus. He said to St. Paul, I'm going to use you to go to the Gentile world to lead them from darkness to light and from slavery to Satan to God. From darkness to light, from Satan to God. That's the biblical understanding. That's God's diagnosis of the human condition. And if we don't walk in the Lord and walk toward the light, and we turn our back on the Lord, suppressing the truth about God, we necessarily walk into darkness. There is no middle ground, friends. There just isn't. And the more we continue to walk, the deeper sin gets a hold of us, and God needs to act. God bless you, friends. Hope you can join me tomorrow. We're going to continue on this theme.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.